Hey. Yoshi, are you smelling the microphone?
She's wagging. She was like, what do you want me to do?
Hey, I have a confession.
I got another confession to make.
Dang, this is going back in time. You used to sing something on every ep like 3 years ago. Or like 5 years ago.
I don't know if anybody remembers that who listens to the show, because nobody listens to the show.
Oh, well, that's kind of true. I feel like I need to confess to you, Molly, and Sam all at the same time.
Okay.
I let us down.
Why?
Okay. Little background.
I can't even squint and see where this is going, which is usually scary to me, because it's going to come out of left field and hit me in the side of the head. I did something that's about to get...
No, it has nothing to do with you, except for the part where you're going to be disappointed in me. So there's a teacher at Oak Ridge High School who, and it's like a science teacher or something, but because it's migration season, this teacher is giving their students a test where they have to identify bird calls. Mm-hmm. And so this teacher is teaching them bird calls. They're learning how to identify them, and they're listening to them, et cetera, et cetera. Nora's in this class.
Yeah, we talked about it today.
Yeah, so she's been talking to me about how she's like been getting better at identifying certain bird calls, and really, really cool. We had this amazing conversation about it. I was like, oh, this is so fun. My kid's getting into birding. So then yesterday I'm at Campaigners, and it was breakfast Campaigners, so it was before guys had to go to school. And we're talking, and I'm just asking guys, what's your day looking like? And this dude named Zeke, who we both love, was there at Campaigners, and he was like, man, my day's about to be terrible. And I was like, why? And he was like, because I got the stupidest, most pointless test today. It's ridiculous. Why would you make me do this? Why would anyone care? And I was like, what is it? He was like, I got to identify bird calls.
Oh, Zeke.
And
don't tell me you had his back.
I was just like,
and agreed with him.
I was just like, man, I'm so sorry.
Oh.
I was like, dang, that sucks.
That's hurt.
He's hurt. He's hurt. I sinned against him.
I may need to remove you from the group text. For context, there's a group text that exists between myself,
Lee. Tell him what it's called, Thomas.
Sam Bingham and Molly Warren, and it's called Birdie Birdsville. And it's just a fun place for us to share what birds we've seen recently, or
don't remove me from
other
the
fauna.
Don't remove.
But it's for people who are true birders at
heart. Come on, no, don't remove me from the group text.
I'm just saying, I go to war for my little feathered friends. They deserve to be noticed.
Here's what I'm saying: you're enough of an Enneagram
There's
9.
There's your goldfinch up there. Don't even look at it, Lee. You don't.
Hey, don't say that. Don't say that. That's my buddy. I feed him.
He flew away the moment you looked at him.
No, don't say that.
You did it, man. Honestly, though, if look, you know what? This will either bury you,
Thomas,
or redeem you. When you go to Spain without me, and you better bring your binoculars and have downloaded the Iberian Peninsula.
I already have the Iberian Peninsula on there.
I said Iberian, and I meant Iberian.
Iberian. Listen, don't remove me from the group text.
Hey, listen, if it happens, it happens. I'm not in charge.
Look, I'm just saying that I think that you're enough of an Enneagram 9 that if a high school guy that you were trying to become friends with so you could tell him about the good news of Jesus Christ said something like that, I just feel like you would commiserate with him instead of punching him in the face with how great birding is.
Mm. I'm enough of an Enneagram Wing 1 that I would have died on the hill for birds, I think.
Your one wing is literally a wing, the wing of
a
bird.
It's one wing, yeah. It's a great horned owl.
It's a silent wing.
Yeah, you fly in circles if you only have one wing.
Look, in that moment, I was so uncomfortable that if I had a grappling hook, I would shoot it up and take myself out of the Chick-fil-A so I didn't have to live that moment, and it could have been another Young Life leader. It could have been Rob.
Yeah. You like, shoot through your batarang up in the sky.
Exactly. No, the smoke pellets.
I used to have a batarang as a kid.
You did?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were into superheroes until you went to watch Avengers 6 times in the theaters and only paid once.
It was 5 times. Yeah, I did only play once. I was mildly into them. I liked Batman a lot. And actually, like the Adam West Batman. I watched that. There was that one tracks. Of them on a repeat.
That's real tea.
Funny. Right, but no, I had, you know, have those 90 degree angle metal things that hold up shelves. Like yeah. if you were to put 2 wooden shelves on, it's okay. Just like a,
yeah,
I don't know what they're called, but my dad tied a little piece of rope to the end of it and I would throw it over our fence and
wow,
it's pretty sick.
Did you climb on it?
You know how good I am at climbing things. It started young.
Was this in the Rosie O'Donnell phase?
No, it was pre that, man. I was like 4. This is at our old house, Meadow, way back in the day.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really sorry, man. I should have stood up to Zeke.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back and have another conversation with him. And I'm going to tell him about the joy of birding. Look, Goldfinch is fat.
I think that's wise. I think if everyone in the world, I mean, I think if you listen to this podcast and you're not taking 5 minutes a day just to pay attention to birds, you're really missing out.
I did mean to tell you, you know the tall bearded gentleman that lives near the church that's always walking?
Yes.
Well, the...
I honestly don't know what he looks like because he only looks at his phone and or his tiny dog. He never looks up.
No, not that bearded gentleman. The tall... Oh,
Eric. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, his name's Eric. Okay. Yeah. Do you think Eric listens to this pod?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tall bearded gentleman. Yeah. Lives up the street. Lives up on Ogden Circle.
And the Gregory's old house, yeah.
That's exactly right. So, Jack drove me to church on Sunday. We parked the car walking down Ogden and... And I heard something, and I was like, that's a brown thrasher. And I said something, and then all of a sudden, like, this dude talks to me. He's like, hey, good morning. I was like, hey, you got a brown thrasher in your tree right there, in your dogwood. He was like, I do? I was like, yeah. He's like, how do you know? I was like, Merlin Bird ID, baby. I told him all about Cornell University and the whole thing. He was like, I might download that.
You should.
Sometimes
he's just outside all the time. Yeah, he sits in his backyard all the time.
Okay, so can I ask this?
Please.
If I spread that to him, does that cover my omission to Zeke?
No.
Oh, you said that, no! Dude,
judge, I'm impartial. I don't have an impartial judge.
I was hoping you were going to say, Judge Fudge allows it.
One of the best things in that show is that Lily's the slap bet commissioner. And Marshall will make a decision, and they look at Lily, and she's like, I'll allow it. And Barney always is like, dang it. Like he just concedes. There's no nepotism pushback or anything. He just is like, that's fine.
I guess that's the rule.
That's the rule. She's
she's the slap bet commissioner.
It kills me.
Okay, welcome to Ancient and New.
Sure.
We're going to talk about the scriptures today. This is Thomas, and I'm Lee, and we read the Bible, and then we hang out and talk about it. That's our normal life. We're just letting you into 30 minutes of what our week is always like.
Yeah.
That's really why we started this.
Yeah.
That and David Phillips. All right, take us to the scriptures.
Okay, we're going to go to Mark 11.
Mark chapter 11. Loading.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I've kind of been, it just happens to be where I'm at, honestly, but I've been paying attention to the days following the triumphal entry and just the days leading up to Jesus' arrest. Yeah, and it's just interesting. It just kind of like, okay, here's a new day. What happened? What did he do? And this one is interesting. It's the you know, cursing the fig tree, but I'm gonna go a little past that, and I just was interested in this little bit. You got a yellow-rumped warbler singing out there, buddy.
Oh, butterbutt.
Butterbutt.
You saw it or heard it?
Heard it.
Wow. You heard it over the washing machine.
Yeah.
That Carolina wren just kicked the goldfinch off the bird feeder.
Yeah, it really did.
Sorry, triumphal entry.
Yeah, triumphal entry. Post that, but here we're gonna pick up in verse 15 of Mark 11.
Oh wow,
what should I not
doing? You doing the fig tree?
No, Pat.
We're doing temple courts. Let's do it.
Temple courts. Fig tree was
complicated.
Wild, man.
Complicated.
But this one is really cool. There's a really cool nugget in here, but there's also just something else that I was just interested in. It says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Okay, it's just a... I have a really clear image in my head of this, which is hilarious, and it's wrong. I'll just say that. And it's way wrong. I'll just preface that, but it's...
All right.
It's like... Well, I have a couple, actually. One is Michael Gambon in...
Did you put your name in the cup?
It's the worst possible.
Maybe the worst scene in all the movies, except for that super awkward scene where Harry and Hermione are dancing in Deathly Hallows.
Ooh. Yeah. No, that's cringe nation, man. That's
it was just
population.
Like, it was like somebody dunked Daniel your head Radcliffe in a toilet of cringe.
Homegirl. But there's the one. It's in Half Blood Prince when he's drinking the potion.
Oh.
And Harry gets pulled in by the Inferii and he has the like flame whip coming out of his wand.
Oh,
so yes. Which is ridiculous. That or I also picture this one's even worse. What was that Nicolas Cage movie, Ghost Rider?
Oh, I never saw it.
I saw it. I remember thinking.
I can't believe
you saw it. I know my friends like this, but I think it's terrible. But he rides around on like a Harley Davidson or something, and he has a whip as well. So for some reason, it's a chain. Okay,
flamed chain.
But I know that this is
it's a beflamed chain.
Yeah, and you know, as I'm thinking through this, I'm probably merging. Is it John chapter 2? Where he uses a whip to turn tables over. Yeah,
he makes the whip.
Yeah, he makes a whip. So
yeah, he braids a whip himself.
It's funny,
whip people with.
Yeah, ridiculous. That took a minute.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're determined at that point. Yeah, this is intentional.
You're trying to prove a point, but
it's not like Indiana Jones was hanging out and you may I borrow your whip
or Nicolas Cage from Ghost Rider. Who's to say? Yeah, so neither of those things are correct. And also, I'm merging Mark 11 and John 2, which are two distinct instances, right?
Sure, yes.
But my point being is that Jesus felt passionately about this thing that was happening that was not good.
That's right.
Right?
He was super upset about it.
He was super upset about it. Moved very deeply. And one of the reasons why is he says a really cool thing, which is, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, which is super interesting.
Yeah.
And it's actually amazing. And it is a quote from Isaiah 56, which is even cooler. It's just this moment where you're like,
again, with the legal thing, there's precedent for the way he feels.
Right. But also it's just another moment where these people just miss something totally or chose to miss something. I think maybe more likely. I mean, cause if you think about the vast knowledge of the Old Testament that the Hebrew Bible that these guys would have had, right? I mean, they had it down word for word.
Yeah.
They knew everything about it. It was their job. Right. You know, it's like they didn't just see a house of prayer for all nations and think I wonder what that means. Like, it just feels super obvious to me, you know? And maybe I'm wrong about that. But I think you can't convince me that there wasn't at least one person of all the Pharisees and the Sadducees who wouldn't have said, guys, I think this is saying, this needs to be inviting to everybody.
Not like a merch booth at a concert taking advantage of them by charging $56 for a t-shirt.
Right, there you go.
That's what this was.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
So that's the background of this, is that they set up tables in order you want to come and offer a sacrifice at the temple? That's great. What brand of money do you use? Okay, you're from Ethiopia? Great. Well, this dove is going to cost you $130. And it was like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Like in Ethiopia, a dove cost me $3. Right. Yes, but this is the temple of Yahweh.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know what? You know what doesn't. Well, you know what makes me not want to ever come back you know, like,
yeah, you're gonna get gouged.
Yeah, you're gonna get gouged. And not only that, we're just gonna take your money, we're gonna do what we want with it.
But I mean, sometimes you're at a concert, which you've been to way more concerts than I have, so you can speak to this. Sometimes you're at a concert and you're like, I know if I buy a t-shirt at the merch table, I'm gonna get had.
Yeah, but no, like,
but I just want one.
I spent $50 on a t-shirt at the last Coldplay concert I went to.
Yeah, exactly. And you know you got had.
But
it's highway robbery.
100%.
But you're like, I love Coldplay.
I do. And I,
so I want
the rad shirt,
and I want the shirt
really sick.
And a lot, so a lot of people were getting had on purpose because they're like, when else am I going to be in Zion at the temple of Jerusalem and in the temple courts?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and get had.
Mm.
And that's what was happening. And Jesus was, and, but they're going to go home and they're going to tell their friends, and their friends are going to be like, I'm not taking that trip.
Right.
No. And that's where Jesus loses
the pilgrimage for me. But there was a thing that occurred to me in this, was which was, here's an instance where Jesus feels very passionately about something, and he wanted something to change, and he wanted to remove a thing that was happening that was against what he wanted for his people and for the world and for his followers and people who weren't following him yet. All the stuff, right? And it just occurred to me to, and like, again, I want to double down on this. Like, here's a quote from the Old Testament that surely, it wasn't like so-and-so, let's just use Nicodemus, low-hanging fruit, great dude by the end of it, you're right?
Yeah.
But like, it wasn't like Nicodemus was like, oh no, we just didn't know that one was in there. You know, like,
you can't not know.
It was the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah. Also, the second most common command in the Hebrew Bible is to love the alien as you love yourself.
There you go.
Love the immigrant as you love yourself.
100%. Okay. And this is the furthest thing from that. This is not loving. This is unkind.
Yeah.
This is exclusive.
It's exploitive.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's all kinds of heinous things. But I would say I was just interested in the fact that, like, there's things in everyone's heart that are, I know that this isn't right. I know how he really feels about this,
and yet I'm doing it.
I've got the booth set up, camped out, and I just was like, man,
and I'm gonna spend the money.
Yeah, but the way Jesus did this was wild. I mean, it was, he felt something about it. He had an opinion about it, and I'm guessing, buddy, it worked. Like, if you go in and flip somebody's table over, it's a big deal.
That's
They're not going to feel good about it.
You know, the thing you talked about, the pictures that you had mentally, the pictures that I had is like the science fair. Mm. When I was a student in Oak Ridge High School, it was in the B gym.
Oh, we didn't have a science fair. We had the psych fair.
Oh, we didn't do psych fair. That's cool. I don't know that we had psychology classes when I was there.
Baby.
The world's come a long way.
Vondel Shipley, man.
Now they have like, dude, they had like, Jack's like 3D printed a phone case for his phone the other day in a class. It's like, we didn't. What? Anyway.
That's wild.
That's what I'm picturing, is like Jesus coming into the B gym and like flipping the tables at the science fair.
Right.
But okay, so here's the thing that stuck out to me in this, is I was thinking about the fact that 200 years before Jesus was born, there was a massive translation committee who translated the Hebrew Bible into Greek.
Septuagint?
The Septuagint, that's right. If you ever want to look up what does the Septuagint say in this verse, you look for capital L, capital X, capital X. That's the Septuagint. So like, if you're looking on like a concordance or like a website like Bible Hub or Logos, and you want to see what does this verse in Isaiah 56 look like in the Septuagint, what you're going to find out is that every time the word, and Tom Job taught me this, but whenever you see the word Gentile in the Bible, if the version that person was reading was Greek, the Greek word for Gentile, that means a non-Jewish person, is the word ethnoi, where we get the word ethnicity.
Ethnicity, yeah.
And that is so interesting to me.
It's really cool.
Jesus's passion was lit and torn up because he's like, I want every ethnicity to feel welcome by me. I want everybody. I want them all. And I don't want anybody to be taken advantage of, and I don't want anybody to be turned away. Like, so these guys that you're saying, they knew it super well. It's not like they could act like they didn't know that that verse was in Isaiah 56. Right. I mean, it's like there are like 17 prophets in the Old Testament and that wrote books or whatever, maybe. But only one is called the prophet, and that's Isaiah.
Yeah, there you go.
This was the blockbuster.
Yeah.
This was the Michael Jordan of the prophets. Yeah. Everybody knew this verse. Right. But if they read it in the Septuagint, they would have read the word ethnicities.
Hmm.
And that's what really fired Jesus' heart up.
That's cool.
Yeah. Can I take us on a meander?
Sure.
Let's meander.
Let's gallivant.
Luke. we're going to start in Luke chapter 5.
Okay.
And I want to talk about something that is kind of a fun factoid about the synoptic gospels. So,
all right,
for folks who are maybe newer to the Bible, there are four accounts of the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We call them the four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very, very similar. They tell a lot of the same stories. They tell a lot of the same stories the exact same way. John is totally different. John is like, it's on a different timetable. There are a couple of stories in John that are the same, but there are no parables in John. It's like highly organized. Like there are seven statements where Jesus says who he is. There are seven miracles that are called signs. There are seven speeches. Like it's like really, really interesting. And so you're like, oh wow, 3 sevens. Well, there are 21 chapters in John. Like it's just a fascinating book. It's totally different. But then Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic, and that's because the Greek word syn, S-Y-N, means with, and then optics, you know what that means. Like we're looking at the same thing. So they kind of tell the same story. What's really, really interesting is when you do a deep dive to like the little intricate differences with how these people tell different stories. So let me give you an example of this. So in Luke chapter 5, it says this in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Of course, Jesus says, "I am willing, be clean," and the guy's healed. All the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all the we saw the same thing gospels, tell that story. But the other two, Matthew and Mark, say a man with leprosy. Luke says a man who was covered with leprosy. Do you want to go ahead and tell people why that's interesting?
Yeah, this is actually really funny because I, as like a sixth grader, I had this cheeky joke where anytime we would read from the Gospel of Luke at my old church, I would say, Luke was a doctor. Every time. I just thought, when I found out that Luke was a doctor, I drove it home.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. And yeah, so we find out from the Apostle Paul that Luke was a doctor. Luke is the only person who wrote a book in the New Testament who was not Jewish. So we have a Gentile guy, probably from Troas, and because that's kind of when he picks up the story and he joins in the book of Acts, but writing about the life of Jesus, and he was a physician, and so he's like, he gives us a more technical version of this, that he was covered in leprosy. There's a really interesting thing where the other side of that, like, so Luke's like, hey, as a doctor, I can tell you that this guy didn't just have leprosy. He had loads of it.
He was covered in it, which is just like, to me is a sign too, just knowing what we know about leprosy today, right? Like,
yeah,
it's actually a neurological disorder.
Yeah.
I would imagine the further you've progressed in it, the more you're going to show it, because right. That means you have less feeling in certain places and you have
more injuries.
Yes.
Injuries have spread.
So I think he's doubling down on the fact that it's like, oh, this was bad. He was far along
this in this process. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So here's an interesting case. In Mark chapter 5, and then I'm going to go back to, we'll go back to Luke in a second. In Mark chapter 5, this is, again, just the little intricate differences in the way the synoptic gospels tell their stories. This is in verse 24. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Okay, so when Luke tells this story, he skips that part about she had spent all she had on doctors.
Luke's like, well,
didn't get better. She got worse. Luke's like, I think we're just going to skip that detail. He's like, let me just protect my profession a little bit. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So here's, so that's just a fun example, but here's where I want to go with this. And then, and I've talked about this in a sermon, a few months ago, but it, I read Luke chapter 5 recently and it just made me think of it again. So back in Luke chapter 5, it says in verse 27, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax collecting booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. This is the way Mark tells the story, and it's the way Luke tells the story. Well, Jesus saw this tax collector, and immediately, for any contemporary readers, they would be like, yo! It would be, the force of this would be if somebody was, if you were reading a book about Jesus and it said like, Jesus saw a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, come and follow me. Like, what do you want him for? Like, he sells drugs to kids. You know, like that, like he's what's wrong with our society, literally. Like that, no. And that's the way they would have felt. So let me show you, because. Yes, Matthew chapter 9. You know exactly what I'm doing with this. I love you for that. Because this, when he says, when he saw a tax collector named Levi, mm-hmm. that guy, Levi, was Matthew.
Yeah.
And as far as most commentators think, Matthew is a nickname that Jesus gave him.
Mm.
It means good.
Cool.
Like a good, the good man. Levi was his Hebrew name. But it's most likely that Jesus renamed him like, hey, you're a good dude.
Yeah.
Hey, good dude.
It's a fresh start.
Here's the good dude right here. This is my boy. This is the good dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. When Mark and Luke tell this guy's story, they say, Jesus saw a drug dealer sitting over here.
Named Levi.
Named Levi.
Yeah.
And when Matthew tells his story, he says, Jesus saw a man. Mm-hmm. He saw a person.
Yeah.
My identity is not the mistakes that I've made.
Yeah.
My identity is not the worst moments of my life or even the way that I let my life get off the rails.
Yeah.
My identity is that I'm a human being. Jesus cares about me, and he sees something in me that nobody else does.
Mm.
God, I can't get over it. That is just, that's like the heart of why I want to hear the rest of the gospel.
Mm.
You know, it's like, I want to keep reading now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be interesting, like, if the gospels were organized differently, like if you read Mark first and then you read Luke. Or if you read Luke first, because it has the birth story, and then you read Mark, and then you read Matthew, by the time you got to that story, you'd be like, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
He's not just a tax collector.
Mm-hmm.
He's more than that. He's a person. He's a human being.
Yeah, I really like the bit how Matthew, he calls himself Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it is true that that's just a nickname that Jesus gave him, you know, I think it's a fantastic thing because there's that really cool place in is it Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.
That's right.
Yeah, where it's just, there's just a little reference to like how when we get to heaven, we're going to get a new name on a white stone. And I've always thought of that in a way of like when that happens, it's not going to be a surprise to me. I'm going to have always known it.
Wow.
You know, it's like, as a 30-year-old man, I don't. But like when it's handed to me, it's just going to be like, oh, that was it the whole time. I knew it. You were whispering it the whole time. And I love that Matthew is just saying like, this is it. This is how you see me the whole time.
And don't you think it's going to cure, like, things that you've always hated about yourself?
100%. Yeah, no, it's like, going to be awesome.
I think
it's
about be the like
best bomb of all time.
Like knowing you since you were like an eighth grader and now as like a 30-year-old man, like I've watched you progress through so many things where like there were seasons of your life where like in a crowd of people, you wouldn't even say the true thing about yourself because what would they think about me?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But now, like now you are very proud of the fact that you love McDonald's.
Yeah, well, yeah. Maggie Williams sat on my couch with a basket of fries from McDonald's last night, and I just took some. I don't know her super well. She's new to Maddie's campaigner group. I was like, hey, what are we working with? Fry tax.
If you're coming over here, there's a toll.
Yeah,
duh. It's like a toll road. Yeah. Does Maddie let you take Jude there?
Yeah, 100%.
The pause was
no,
great.
For Maddie me. Has no qualms about anything like that. It's
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, I would say every few weeks Jude gets like a. He loves their like. He likes an egg and cheese biscuit from McDonald's.
Has he ever had like a McGriddle or anything like that?
No, that's probably.
That's too much.
Yeah. That's probably too much.
But well, I remember for us, it was like crossing the Rubicon when we let Anna have a soda for the first time.
Oh, we haven't done like, that yet. I'm like, terrified of that. No.
Here we go.
So his at...
It was at Soup Kitchen. I remember.
At his... one of his Parents' Day Out programs, at the front desk, the lady who runs it has the biggest thing of Dum Dum suckers you've ever seen.
Okay.
Like it's massive. You must have bought it at Costco. She just always has them. And it, I mean, until about a month ago, I never let him see it. I was just like, I just don't want it. Because when it happens, it's over.
Avert your eyes.
Yeah. Like we would just like, and then when he found out, like now when I walk in the door to get him, he says, "Yeah, Daddy's here. I get a sucker every time. Just I get a sucker. But then, like, he's so sticky. That's the whole reason. It's not because I don't want him sugar. It's because he's going to be sticky.
If Potsy babysat Jude, would you let Jude have a green light for a Filet-O-Fish sandwich?
Yeah, he can eat what he wants. I don't care.
We had a full-out debate in our community group, like, 4 or 5 weeks ago about the Filet-O-Fish sandwich. And Joe Penley walked in like a couple minutes late, mm-hmm. and everybody was like still going back and forth, and he was like, tartar sauce, American cheese.
Nothing at late night when he just started dishing out double cheeseburgers. I haven't been that happy in a long time. No, I'm just so kidding.
Funny.
But I mean, when Long John Silver's opens up,
yeah,
in a couple weeks,
yeah,
I'll be there.
You're going?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were on that vibe.
Well, I'm not. But I haven't been in 20 years.
I'll go with you.
Okay, let's go.
I like
fish. We had fish last night.
I just need to
make sure. I'm going to go fish tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but the fish are not coming from the clinch.
No. One of my pets, you know. No, no. But
no.
There's no fresh fish where we live.
No.
If you eat fish, you're getting the same fish. It's like, if people are like turning their nose up about Long John Silver fish, I'm like, if you got it at Kroger,
yeah,
it was frozen, and it probably...
Or if you got it at that, what's that super fancy place in Turkey Creek?
Publix?
No, not the grocery store, the restaurant.
Whole Foods? Oh.
No, it's near Abuelos. It's right there.
Chesapeake's?
I don't know. Maybe.
Even Chesapeake's, like, which is...
It's all coming from the same place.
Yeah. Well, Chesapeake's is the one place. My buddy...
Oh.
His dad is the CFO of that brand. And he told me, no, they fly it in on an airplane once a week. That's once a week you're getting fresh fish.
Wow.
But it's like, no, it is... Tom told me one time that if you get Alaskan caught salmon frozen from the grocery store, it was caught in Alaska, frozen, shipped to Japan... Thawed,
what?
Frozen again, shipped back, and then now we have it.
Why'd it go to Japan?
I don't remember. He explained it to me.
Was it on a vacation?
It must have just been Jay chilling. There's no such thing as fresh fish.
I've always wanted to see Tennessee. Tokyo. Well, thanks for listening, guys. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Did we ever wrap up your point?
I think we got there in the end.
Okay. All right. See y'all.
Bye. I need a love that will not leave me empty, and I need a love I can't let down. A different kind of love that doesn't want to use me, a love that just wants me around. Love that's patient and gentle, kind. Love that wants the best for me. Love that's perfect when I'm not. Love that won't just stop and leave. What if this is the love I need? What if I am tired? A heart that's always broken. And what if I want something that is real? What if there is truth to the words that you have spoken? What if this love can really heal? Love that's patient, gentle, kind. Love that wants the best for me. Love that's perfect when I'm not. Love that won't just stop and leave. What if this is the love I love that's patient, gentle, kind. Love that wants the best for me. Love that's perfect when I'm not. Love that won't just stop and leave. What if this is the love I need? What if this is the love I have?